Hey, good morning, everybody. Yeah, you guys look good. So many beautiful colors. You're all ready for Christmas. This is the last weekend before Christmas. I'm so excited. My kids are excited. I'm excited. I love that we're worshiping together. We've got so many Christmas Eve services starting tomorrow. So hopefully you'll be able to come out and make it. If we haven't met before, my name's Brandon, and I'm part of the teaching team here at Valley Church. It's so good to see all of you here in the room, those of you watching online. Maybe for some of you, like, this is your very first time at Valley Church. Maybe it's because you're just visiting family and they refuse to feed you lunch unless you came. Sorry about that. We've all got a long ways to go, but we're glad you're here. We're glad you're joining us. Maybe this is your first time at church ever, or your first time at church in a long time. We're so glad that you're here celebrating Christmas with us, joining us, and hopefully today will be encouraging for you, and you'll come back. You know, some of you might not know this about me. My wife and I, we have three kids. We have three boys. And we like them most of the time. We love them all of the time. But 15 years ago, we didn't have any kids. We had no kids 15 years ago. And when my wife told me that she was having a baby, I was so excited. I was going to be a dad. Like, this was such good news. And I just wanted to tell everybody that I was going to be a dad, mostly because most people wouldn't have believed it at the time. I was super pumped. We were pumped to be parents. I remember getting that phone call from my wife that it was time to go to the hospital. I was hanging out with a bunch of guys. It was irresponsibly late for how pregnant she was. I should have been at home. She said, "It's time." I'm like, "What time?" "Oh, it's time." I like stood up and I'm like, "We're having a baby." And I just stormed out of the room. I was so excited. And it was a long night. It was super long. Like, my wife said I fell asleep a couple times. I don't really remember, but she said it was hard. I believe her. We had this baby. It was so amazing. It was so precious to have a child, to be a dad. Like, I remember like those first few moments of meeting my son Owen, and he gave us a little scare at first, but he was healthy. The doctors helped him out. He was healthy. But we were just such unsure as parents. We were just questioning life. We were so like curious. And yet at the same time, as we were excited, we were also nervous and untrusting. And, you know, people were coming in and out of our room and they were looking at the baby, touching the baby, poking, pricking the baby. They had clipboards. We assumed they were nurses and they were supposed to be there. We weren't real sure. We just were like just sitting there like wondering. And I remember that moment where they took him away from us. Like, he had been in this bassinet beside her bed, and they wheeled him out. And I was like, "Where are you going with my baby?" And they were like, "This is normal." I'm like, "How am I going to get the right one back?" And apparently they tag your babies, and then you get them back at the end of the day. But it was so crazy. It was so nerve-wracking. But it was so wonderful. It was so precious. I remember looking inside the window with all of the other babies, and I'm like, that one's beautiful, but I'll take mine. And then number two came along, and it was great. The experience was better. The hospital had Wi-Fi at this time. It was helpful. And I remember all of our friends were sending out birth announcements, and we were like, "We want to do it too. We want to send out these birth announcements." So I remember Carrie and I, we designed these cards together. I went and had 200 of them printed, made. I brought them home. She labeled each and every single card because we were going to announce that we, again, were parents. And we took those cards. We had good intentions of setting them by the door of the exit where we leave every day. And every day for a couple of weeks, we just saw them. And then a couple months go by, and they're still sitting there. And I remember a year later seeing them, just like putting like a shirt over them. It's just like, I don't want to see them anymore. 18 months go by. They're still there. 2 years. It was 2 years later before I said to my wife, I said, "I'm sorry. I'm going to pick these up. I'm going to do what's right." And I threw them in the garbage because I was embarrassed. Nobody needed to know we had a baby at this point. He was two. They knew what he looked like. We had Facebook. It was fine. And then number three came along. And we were asking the doctors, could you just take him to that other room? We just need a little more peace and quiet. Can we just have a little more, just a little more time? Because we knew we were going to have to take him home to the chaos of life. I'm probably kidding. I'm not. These were incredible moments for us, though. You know, as young parents, they're incredible moments, like memorable. We're never going to forget the birth of our children. And even though number one usually gets more attention than each and every one who follows, like, we'll never forget the birth of our child. And as important as the birth of our kids are to us, we're going to look at a birth announcement today that matters for the world. And I would love it if you all would turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, it's the third gospel. If you have your Bible on a phone, just click over to Luke, chapter 2. And we're going to jump into the greatest, most impressive birth announcement ever. We know Luke, chapter 2 is the Christmas story. This announcement of Jesus is happening here in the moment, the most memorable birth announcement ever. And while the purpose of Christmas, like, is about the birth of Jesus, the purpose is so much bigger than just the announcement of a child. This is the Christmas story. And maybe as you're turning, you might remember, if you weren't here, I'll tell you, a couple weeks ago, we talked about a guy named Abram, who eventually would be named Abraham, and how there was a connection, a deep connection to the Christmas story all the way at the front of our Bibles. And maybe you've never thought about Christmas like this, but we celebrate Christmas because of a promise that God made in Genesis chapter 12. It reads like this. God is saying this to Abraham. This is part of the promise that God made. All of the peoples, not some people, not just your people, but all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God is saying, Abraham, I trust you. Abraham, I know you're going to be obedient. Abraham, through you, I'm going to bless everyone. And that promise was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise that God made to Abraham at the front of our Bibles. And in Luke chapter 2, where we jump in on verse 8, we find some shepherds hanging out in the fields. And they weren't just hanging out. They were doing what shepherds do. They were watching over their flocks. And this time it was at night. And what we know is that at night, out in the wilderness, they still needed to keep watch, even though some were probably sleeping. And so some were sleeping, some were on night watch. And out of nowhere, these shepherds out in the wilderness ran into an angel. The angel of the Lord, one angel, appeared to all these shepherds. And the glory of God, I can't even imagine this, the glory of God, the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And these guys were terrified. Like, it doesn't just mean like, oh, I was startled. Like, these guys were freaking out. They were scared. They were terrified. Of course they were terrified. When an angel speaks to you, you freak out. And the glow would have been absolutely radiant. Like, the light would have been brilliant. It would have been shining all over the place. And there is no way that these shepherds could have seen what was going on around them. They would have been shielding their eyes. Chances are they would have fallen to the ground. They couldn't have even seen. I mean, what am I doing? I mean, you know what it's like to have an angel talk to you, right? Okay, never mind. Luke 2:10, look at this. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. The angel's trying to just gather, hey, I need you to pay attention. Don't be scared. The angel here, with just these few words, is giving them reassurance that everything is gonna be all right. He needs their attention. He says, do not be afraid. For I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Good news, like literally the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Echoing what we have read and what we've known from so many years ago. From Genesis chapter 12, don't be afraid. What I have for you is the fulfillment of a promise made so long ago. And this angel is about to share the birth announcement that matters for all peoples. The birth announcement that we make in our lives, like if you've had kids, the birth announcements that you have made, they matter a lot to you. And chances are, they matter a lot to some close family members. And chances are, some of your friends are going to be really excited for you. But the birth of Jesus, this birth announcement, is going to have a ripple effect that changes the world forever. This is good news of great joy. That's for all the people. And then the angel of the Lord says this. I love this. Maybe in your Bibles, you want to circle that word today. He says today. And when we read this, I think it's easy to just gloss over this. But the people have been waiting so long for this blessing. The people have been waiting for a Messiah to come for centuries. And the angel says, there's no more waiting. Like, your waiting hasn't been wasting, but there's no more waiting. Because today, right now, in the city of David, today, right now, in Jerusalem, a Savior was, not will be, but a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah and the Lord. And the angel of the Lord, you know, is identifying like with three very unique, very distinct terms and words. The Lord, meaning that this baby will have authority over everything. And when these shepherds heard the word Messiah, they knew exactly what the angel of the Lord was talking about. And for us, maybe we don't know, but let me tell you, the word Messiah comes from a Hebrew word or an Old Testament word that means anointed one or chosen one. And the Greek equivalent, the New Testament equivalent, is a word that means Christ. So when you and I, when we read Jesus Christ, it's the same as if we were reading Jesus the Messiah. And the people had this good news of great joy. They would be rejoicing. There's going to be much rejoicing because God has finally sent his anointed one. A special God-ordained purpose within this baby, this child. And God didn't just send anyone. He sent his son. He was the only one who could rescue us from our mess. Jesus, Savior, Messiah, Lord. But this word Savior, like we know Lord and they were familiar with Messiah, but this word Savior, this is kind of unique. This is interesting. Because the people wouldn't really understand the word Savior until the end of Jesus' life. And many didn't believe that he was who he said he was. This word Savior, you know, until Christ literally and physically gives up his life, the people wouldn't understand. They were hoping that the Savior to come would be a strong political leader to overthrow Rome. Or others were thinking that maybe the Savior, the Messiah to come, would be a mighty warrior to bring us victory in battle over the other nations. Nobody was expecting the Savior to be a servant. Nobody expected the Savior to come as a baby. And yet, so many people still today look for a Savior in other places. You know, we look for our salvation from loneliness. We want to be saved from being lonely. And so we kind of maybe find our own path and we end up making bigger mistakes. Or some of us find our security and our salvation in our jobs and in our savings and in our job and our savings and our job and our savings. And we end up turning away from generosity because we're never, ever able to have enough. We're trying to save ourselves. Or maybe we look to be saved from our problems, so we immerse ourselves in distractions. And for some of us, that's sports or it's TV or it's the internet or it's social media or it's shopping. Maybe we can't save ourselves from our problems. So we at least try to numb the pain with alcohol. Or maybe if I just smoked just enough to curb the anxiety, this would just go away, at least for a while. I've had far too many conversations as a pastor with people who feel that they have sinned so much that Jesus could never and would never forgive them. That the things that they've done in their lives are too bad and too big to be forgiven. Don't let your guilt keep you from God's grace. And while Scripture is very clear that we do not try to out-sin God's grace, the truth is that none of us can out-sin God's grace. God's grace is so big. We don't go on sinning, but we can take everything that we have to him because he's big enough for the messes in our lives. I mean, that's the point. Jesus came to be with us because he can do what none of us can do for ourselves. We need him. And if any of those things describe you, can I just say this to you? Like a savior has been born for you. Look at this same verse. But today, in the city of David, a savior was born for you. That we would remember that this is good news, that this is quite literally the gospel. Good news of great joy that was for all the people. And when the angel of the Lord said this to these shepherds, it's kind of mind-blowing and yet peace-giving. Because while we might think of shepherds as guardians over sheep, and they had these jobs where they protected these animals that were a much-needed commodity for the culture, the truth is, in the first century, being a shepherd, it wasn't an honor. Shepherds, they were outcasts in many ways. Many shepherds, they didn't have a good reputation. They were unclean. They were unworthy. They were unreliable. Shepherds were so unreliable as seen in culture, they weren't even allowed to give testimony in a courtroom. And knowing that the announcement of the birth of the Savior of the world came through the shepherds is mind-blowing and peace-giving, because this birth announcement came to outcasts and sinners, the exact people that Jesus gravitated towards in his ministry and in his life. This was quite literally the good news. What do you do with good news? When you have good news, what do you do with it? Like you share it, right? You share it and you celebrate it. You give it away. And this wasn't just good news. This was good news of great joy. And those of us in this room who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, like we want to be joy bringers to other people. What do you know, if you don't know what to do with good news, let me show you what the angels did. I mean, we know that the angel of the Lord told these shepherds all about Jesus. And then right there in front of the shepherds, suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel, and they were praising God and they were saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to the people he favors." Like, what did the angels do? The angels, they started telling people and then they started praising God. What did the shepherds do? Look at what the shepherds did here. When the angels left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem." This, I underline this, I highlight this in my Bible, because what this tells me is that the news they heard was so incredible, it was so radical, they left their livelihood. They left their sheep out in the fields to see this good news. Maybe in your Bibles too, you underline that word "see." Because they went to check this thing out, which isn't unlike the way Jesus ran his public ministry. We see Jesus coming in contact with people, person after person, especially in the Gospel of John, where we see Jesus saying, "Hey, come and see." And other people who are following Jesus say, "Hey, come and see. Come and see what Jesus is all about." Because when you come and see him, you're going to find out that everything that was made known to you about Jesus, especially through Scripture, hopefully through people who are following Jesus, you find that he is the Savior, he is the Messiah, he is the Lord. And that's exactly what these shepherds were pursuing. Look at verse 17. After seeing them, after the shepherds had seen Mary and Joseph and the baby exactly as they were told, they reported the message. They reported the message that the angel gave to them to everyone. And they were, everyone who heard, they were amazed at what the shepherds were telling them. That's mind-blowing. People were just amazed at what these outcasts were saying. And the shepherds, they returned glorifying and praising God. They returned back to their jobs glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. What did the angels do? Well, the angel of the Lord told, and then the angels came down and they praised God. And then the shepherds, you know, they went and they told people and they were amazed, and they went back to their jobs and they praised God. And then after all of this happened, Mary and Joseph, they traveled to Bethlehem, from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. They traveled to Jerusalem for what we would call a presentation and a purification. They went to the temple. It was customary by law, and they needed to you know, go to the temple after a certain amount of days so that Mary could be purified and so that Jesus could be presented to the Lord as a child of God. And while they were at the temple, they came into contact with two prophetic figures. The first was a man named Simeon, and the second was a woman. She was a prophetess, and her name was Anna. And Simeon, what we know about him is that this guy, he was just a very godly guy. He was very godly, and he was hopeful for the future of Israel. He was waiting for a savior to come and make everything right in God's sight. And he had this encounter with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told him, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. That must have been great news, because people had been waiting for the Messiah for hundreds of years. And he's like, I'm going to get to see the Messiah before I die? So he had this promise. He was holding on to this promise that the Holy Spirit had given to him. And when Mary and Joseph appeared at the temple, when they showed up at the temple to offer Jesus as a sacrifice, which was customary by law, Simeon, he saw Jesus and he took Jesus up in his arms. And he started praising God. And then Simeon says this, now Master, speaking, I mean, he's praising God. He says, Master, you can now dismiss your servant in peace. He's saying, I can finally die because I have seen the Messiah just as you have promised. For my eyes have seen your Jesus. My eyes have seen the Lord. My eyes have seen salvation. Jesus, the Messiah. And Simeon, he shared a few things. He shared some great things with Mary and Joseph about Jesus. And what we know about Simeon is he was so joy-filled. This is good news of great joy. He was so joy-filled. He shared with Mary and Joseph a lot about the Messiah, the things that God had prompted. And then he praised God. And then we meet this woman, Anna, a prophetess. There was also a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years. She was married for 7 years. And after her marriage, she was widowed. She was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple. This woman spent day, she spent night in the temple, and she would fast and she would pray. Very godly woman. She was in the temple all the time. She was praising and worshiping, and she was, I know she was talking and helping people worship and understand the things of God. And as she was giving her life to the service of God, she had lost so many things, right? I mean, she had lost her husband, but one thing that is so clear is that this woman hasn't lost hope. And maybe because of some things that she had overheard, or maybe because of a prompting from the Lord, like, she recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Savior, that Mary and Joseph, the baby that they had walked into the temple with, was the Lord. And at that very moment, she came up to them and she began to thank God and to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. What did the angels do? They shared and they praised God. And the shepherds, they shared and they praised God. This was good news of great joy. What did Simeon do? He shared with the people and he praised God. And this prophetess, Anna, like, she was so excited because this is good news of great joy. And she shared and she praised the Lord. So what do you do with good news? I mean, it's easy to ask, what are you going to do with the good news at Christmas? I mean, we should do something with the good news every day of our lives. But right now, while everybody, at least in Des Moines, I mean, in America, we talk about Christmas all the time. And we actually have the best news anyone would ever hear. But it's not just good news. It's good news of great joy for all the people. Good news of great joy for all the people. And as Simeon was praising God in Luke chapter 2, verses 31 and 32, he's praising and he's worshiping God. And then he says this, God, you have prepared it in your Bibles. You might just write the word salvation. You have prepared salvation in the presence of all peoples. Echoing the words of God's promise in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, when he made the promise to Abraham that all peoples will be blessed through you, Abraham. And Simeon here says, you have finally prepared your salvation in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel. Jesus, this Christ child, this birth announcement is the announcement of the good news, the gospel. And it's good news of great joy for all the people that Jesus is the light to the nations. This baby, this announcement, this invitation is for all people. It's not for a people, it's not for some people, but it's for all people, everyone, everywhere. And for us here in West Des Moines, Iowa, like we want to cross boundaries and we want to welcome people from all walks of life, from all racial and all national and all ethnic backgrounds into our lives and into our church. And while Valley Church absolutely has a global ministry, so many nations are represented right here in our own backyard. You know, here at Valley Church, we celebrate that Jesus is a light to the nations. He is the light to the nations, but we don't want to just be good at that and celebrate that. We want to excel at that. You know, recently, actually last week, we had our Christmas dinner for internationals, and it was phenomenal. Over 500 people sitting right here in this room celebrating the nations. That includes volunteers, 42 countries, a U.S. territory, and the room was buzzing. There was so much diversity while at the same time, so much unity. Everybody was together. And in that diverse group, I mean, the music, there was so, they had a violist. There was a Bhutanese dance group. An African choir performed. People loved the food, all of the different foods that were being, there was a raving hit, the international salsa bar. They couldn't keep the salsa. It was just gone. Everybody loved enjoying the food and the celebration and the cookies. They were devoured. Events like this bring Jesus' light to those here in Des Moines and around the world. And Jesus is for everyone. There's still time for us. I don't know if you've thought of it this way. There's still time for us to make a birth announcement. Maybe instead of a birth announcement, we might want to call it an invitation. Your invitation, it could make a world of difference to somebody this week. You know, I know that each and every one of us in this room, we know somebody who fits into one of these four categories. You might want to just jot these down. When we can't identify people who are far from God, like I have to remind myself of a few things. Myself. I have to remind myself to just be light to somebody who might not be familiar with Des Moines. If there's somebody who's not familiar with Des Moines, they're new to town, like I want to be a light to them. I want to bring joy to them. Maybe I know somebody who is not going to church. Who better to invite to church than somebody who does not go to church? I can be a light to them. I can be a light to somebody who in their life things are not going well. What can I do for somebody who's just not having things go their way? I know that maybe they don't need another sermon, they don't need another lecture, they don't need a Bible verse slid on their desk, they may just need a friend, a time for me to invite them to dinner, hang out, maybe even an invitation to church. Or maybe somebody who is just not prepared for what life is throwing at them. I think about these four knots all the time. People who are not familiar with Des Moines, people who are not going to church, people who have things that are not going well, people who are not prepared. I know that you have somebody like that in your life. And there's no greater time for an invitation than now, because Christmas is the most likely yes to that invitation. And not everybody's going to say yes, but we don't slow down because we might be rejected. We continue to share the joy that we have because it might be accepted. I mean, remember, this is like Luke chapter 2. This is how God loved the world. I mean, we were promised it back in Genesis chapter 12. 2,000 years ago in Luke chapter 2, Jesus fulfills it. This is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son. His one and only son appeared on the scene in flesh as a baby. Not as a political warrior or a political leader, a mighty warrior, but as a humble baby in this manger scene with an incredible birth announcement, but a humble beginning. This is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God loves you, and God gave to you that if you believe that Jesus is who he says he was, and you then can receive eternal life. That's the good news. Church, that's the good news of great joy that's for all the peoples. And there is someone you know who needs to know that this is true. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to live this humble beginning, a perfect life, a sacrificial death, which achieves victory over sin and death through his resurrection. Jesus, thank you so much for your obedience, for your love for us. And thanks for letting us just come and see that one day we have and maybe some will become followers because of what they see in you. Not what they see in me, but what they see in the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. God, thank you. Thanks for this time. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.